All right, welcome to day 8 of our St. Joseph consecration, the wonders of our spiritual father. Today we will be discussing St. Joseph, very fitting, on this day 8. But first, let's open in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Good and loving Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our gifts that you have given to all of us. Thank you for this time together as we learn more about our spiritual father and your earthly father, Jesus. We ask that you please send your Holy Spirit to be also with us as we go through this reflection, and we ask all of this in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, day 8, let's get started. St. Joseph, pray for us. We see that at the beginning of the New Testament, as at the beginning of the Old, there is a married couple. But whereas Adam and Eve were the source of evil, which was unleashed on the world, Joseph and Mary are the summit from which holiness spreads all over the earth. The Savior began the work of salvation by this virginal and holy union. St. Pope Paul VI. Marriage is at the heart of creation and redemption. As St. Pope Paul VI states, Adam and Eve were present at the beginning of creation, the Old Testament, and Joseph and Mary are present at the beginning of God's recreation, the New Testament. Jesus himself speaks of the kingdom of heaven as a wedding feast. See Matthew chapter 22, verse 2. St. Pope Paul VI's statement at the beginning of this section is incredibly profound. On some level, he is presenting the idea that St. Joseph is the head of the new covenant family, as Adam was the head of the first covenant family. This is a fascinating idea, one that has rarely been explored in theological studies. Usually when we think of the new head of the human family, the new Adam, we think of Jesus. See 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, and rightly so. Jesus is God. He alone regenerates humanity. Nonetheless, the head of the Holy Family, St. Joseph, was the head of our head. He is the father of our Savior, the patron of the universal church, and our spiritual father. St. Joseph is a new Adam. St. Joseph is, after Christ, the new head of the human family. As such, we are obligated to obey the fourth commandment in his regard: honor your father and your mother. Exodus 20, verse 12. Failure to love and honor St. Joseph is an offense against God. In fact, the fatherhood of St. Joseph is so important for us that our spiritual growth depends on it. If Jesus himself increased in wisdom and knowledge through the fatherhood of St. Joseph, we need St. Joseph's fatherhood to help us acquire the proper attire needed for entrance into the wedding feast of heaven. See Matthew chapter 22, verse 12. St. Joseph will help you get to the wedding feast of heaven. Since we know that St. Joseph loves us, and so we love and honor him in return, we can trust that he will help us get to heaven. The greatest thing any father can do for his children is to get them to heaven. Our first father, Adam, ruined that possibility for all of his children. Our first father's disobedience caused the downfall of all creation and kept us from entering heaven. St. Joseph's fatherhood, on the other hand, elevates us and helps us to enter heaven. He loves us, helps us become saints, and brings us to the only path that leads to heaven. Jesus. Saint Joseph is the delight of saints. Every saint loves Saint Joseph. It is impossible to find a single saint who did not have love for Saint Joseph. While devotion to Saint Joseph developed slowly over time, no saint ever disliked Saint Joseph. It is impossible to truly have love of God and neighbor in your heart, that is, be holy, if you disdain the husband of Mary and the earthly father of Jesus Christ. To enter heaven, you need to resemble your spiritual father in his steadfast love. He will help you acquire the correct attire, virtues, and holiness needed to enter the wedding feast of heaven. It is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. But the spiritual was not first, rather, the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly one, so also the earthly. And as is the heavenly one, so also are the heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 to 49. Delight of Saints. With the exception of our loving mother, Saint Joseph stands above all the saints. Saint Maximilian Kolbe. Saint Joseph is a unique saint. He is honored and loved as the man closest to Christ. His virtues and holiness are extraordinary. Many fathers of the church, for example, Saint Jerome and Saint Augustine, praised Saint Joseph as an example of love, humility, and dedication to Jesus and Mary. Saint Gregory Nazianzen considered Saint Joseph to be so holy that he called him the most luminous of all the saints. He wrote, "The Almighty has consecrated in Saint Joseph, as in a son of unrivaled luster, the combined light and splendor of all the other saints." Saint Gregory Nazianzen's statement is a bold one. As a doctor of the church, his teaching has perennial value. Is he claiming that Saint Joseph's holiness exceeds even that of Our Lady? No, that's not what he's saying. There is, however, something very important to be learned from Saint Gregory's exalted praise of Saint Joseph. Let me explain. From the beginning of Christianity, all of Jesus' followers acknowledged the superlative holiness of Mary, the mother of Jesus. It was rare, however, for anyone in the early church to refer to Mary as a saint. Why is that, you wonder? Well, the early Christians considered Mary to be so holy that they gave her a unique category of holiness. Her person and privileges are so great that she was given the title All Holy Mother of God. Even today, it is extremely rare for a Catholic to refer to the Virgin Mary as Saint Mary. When that title is used by Catholics, it is generally used for a building or an institution that has been named in honor of the Virgin Mary. For example, many churches, schools, and hospitals are named Saint Mary's. In everyday conversation, however, it is almost unheard of for a Catholic to refer to the Virgin Mary as Saint Mary. If a Catholic does call her Saint Mary, it is very likely that the person is a convert to Catholicism from one of the many Protestant denominations. This helps us to understand why saints throughout history refer to Saint Joseph as the greatest of all the saints. Namely, the Virgin Mary is in a different category altogether. In the kingdom of God, Mary is the most elevated of all creatures, but Saint Joseph outranks all the other saints. Please keep this distinction in mind as you make your way through the rest of the book. At times, it will seem as though saints, blesseds, and popes are claiming that Saint Joseph is holier than Mary in their statements. Just remember, he isn't. Okay, so the early church understood Saint Joseph to be the holiest human person after Mary. But what about the statement Jesus himself made regarding the greatest of Saint John the Baptist? Remember that? In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, "I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John the Baptist." Luke chapter 7, verse 28. Isn't Jesus saying that St. John the Baptist is greater than St. Joseph? Actually, that's not what Jesus is saying at all. In the 16th century, St. Lawrence of Brindisi offered an articulate and well-thought-out response to this exact question. He wrote, "Though not his, Jesus's, father by generation, he, Saint Joseph, was his father in his upbringing, his care, and the affection of his heart. It seems to me, therefore, that Joseph is clearly the holiest of all saints, holier than the patriarchs, than the prophets, than the apostles, than all of the other saints. The objection cannot be raised that the Lord said of John the Baptist, 'Among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist.'" Luke chapter 7, verse 28. See also Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Just as this cannot be understood to mean that John is even holier than Christ or the Blessed Virgin, so it can't be understood in reference to Blessed Joseph, the spouse of the Virgin Mary and the father of Christ. For just as husband and wife are one flesh, so too Joseph and Mary were one heart, one soul, one spirit. And as in that first marriage, God created Eve to be like Adam, so in the second marriage, he made Joseph to be like the Blessed Virgin in holiness and justice. St. Lawrence's reasoning is theologically brilliant and flawless. After all, Jesus and Mary themselves were born of women. Jesus can't possibly be stating that St. John the Baptist is greater than the Son of God in his Immaculate Mother. To better understand why Jesus is not saying that John the Baptist is greater than St. Joseph, it is important to examine the entire statement made by Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. It reads, "I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Luke chapter 7, verse 28, emphasis added. When you read this entire passage, you realize that Jesus is making the statement before the new covenant is established. Saint John the Baptist is the greatest Old Testament figure because he is the friend of the bridegroom. He is the greatest man, not because he is the holiest man who ever lived, but because he is the best man at the wedding of the Messiah. See John chapter 3, verse 29. He is the greatest man of the Old Covenant, not the New Covenant. Who is more important? Who is the more important person at the wedding, the best man or the bride? The answer is obvious. The bride is the greatest. What Jesus is saying, therefore, is that everyone, even the least person in the kingdom of heaven, that is, those who celebrate the wedding of the Lamb, is espoused to God and therefore greater than the best man at the wedding. In heaven, even the least person is greater than John the Baptist was held to be on earth because they are eternally espoused to God. Another way of understanding the preeminence of St. Joseph over all the saints, including St. John the Baptist, is by acknowledging the supreme dignity of the fatherhood of St. Joseph. As great as John the Baptist is, he was not the father of Jesus Christ. Fatherhood has rights and privileges to accompany its duties and responsibilities, and the fatherly mission of St. Joseph required greater graces than any other saint has ever received. In any kingdom, not only the king and queen, who shine forth in the kingdom like the sun and the moon, but also the kingdom's princes, dukes, governors, etc., and especially the parents and blood relatives of the king, who shine like the stars in the sky, are held in honor by the king's good and faithful subjects. So, my friends, reason certainly demands that in the kingdom of Christ, not only Christ and the Blessed Virgin be worthy of high esteem, but also all the saints, and especially this blessed man, Joseph, the father of Christ and spouse of the Most Holy Virgin, be held in highest honor by Christ himself as his father and by the Most Holy Virgin as her husband. St. Lawrence of Brindisi. St. Lawrence is a remarkable apologist for St. Joseph. By the way, St. Lawrence is also a doctor of the church. In the same sermon, St. Lawrence offers yet another reason why St. Joseph's exalted place in the kingdom of heaven is greater than any other saint. If Christ sits at the right hand of his Father in the glory of paradise above all the choirs of angels, because he is the first of all, the predestined, and was the holiest of the holiest in this world, and if the Blessed Virgin, by reason of her own holiness, holds the second place after Christ, because she also second by reason of predestination from eternity and grace and time, it seems to me that because Joseph holds the third place after Christ in eternal predestination and grace and time, so by the same reasoning, he also holds the third place in the glory of paradise. Saint Joseph is the greatest saint in the kingdom of heaven because God predestined him for that position. This reality should make our hearts extremely joyful. Rejoice, devout servants of Saint Joseph, for you are close to paradise. The ladder leading up to it has but three rungs, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. St. Leonard of Port Maurice. Who is not aware of that? After the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph is, of all the saints, the one who is the dearest to God. St. Alphonsus Liguori. The exalted status given to St. Joseph by doctors of the Church has led to a particular way of describing the love and reverence due to St. Joseph. The following distinctions were created by theologians and are very helpful for understanding the reverence due to God and his saints. Latria, adoration to God. Hyperdulia, highest reverence to Mary. Protodulia, first revered to St. Joseph, and Dulia, revered to all other saints. In a unique place over all others is God. He alone is worthy of adoration. In Greek, the word for adoration is latria. Only God is worthy of latria, adoration. The Virgin Mary, below God, but above everyone else, including the highest choirs of angels, is given a special form of veneration whose Greek name is hyperdulia, which means highest reverence. Saint Joseph, below Mary, but above all other saints, is accorded a form of veneration whose Greek name is Protodoulia, which means first revered among the other saints. Last but not least are the saints. We acknowledge their holiness and honor them with a type of veneration whose Greek name is doulia, which means reverence. One saint who loved the revered Saint Joseph is in an extraordinary manner is Saint Teresa of Avila, another doctor of the church. In her autobiography, Saint Teresa tells the story of how she was healed from a serious illness through the intercession of Saint Joseph. Her miraculous healing led her to zealously spread devotion to Saint Joseph. She was so convinced of the power and efficacy of Saint Joseph's intercession that she challenged people to put devotion to Saint Joseph to the test. Saint Teresa of Avila was a bold woman. This is what she wrote in her autobiography. I wish I could persuade everyone to be devoted to the glorious Saint Joseph, for I have great experience of the blessings which he can obtain from God. I do not remember that I have ever asked anything of him which he has failed to grant. I am astonished at the great favors which God has bestowed on me through this blessed saint, and at the perils from which he has delivered me, both in body and in soul. To other saints, the Lord seems to have given grace to help us in some of our necessities, but my experience is that Saint Joseph helps us in them all. Also, that the Lord wishes to teach us that as he was himself subject on earth to Saint Joseph, so in heaven, he now does all that Joseph asks. This has also been the experience of other persons whom I have advised to commend themselves to the saint. I only request, for the love of God, whoever will not believe me will test the truth of what I say, for he will see by experience how great a blessing it is to recommend oneself to the glorious patriarch and to be devoted to him. Many people have taken Saint Teresa up on her devotional challenge. Saint Teresa's confidence in Saint Joseph rests on firm theological foundations too. Several centuries before Saint Teresa, Saint Thomas Aquinas, another doctor of the church and universally acclaimed as the greatest theologian in the history of the church, called the powerful intercession of Saint Joseph unlimited. He wrote, "There are many saints to whom God has given the power to assist us in the necessities of life, but the power given to Saint Joseph is unlimited. It extends to all our needs, and all those who invoke him with confidence are sure to be heard." Truth be told, there are an endless number of holy men and women who have extolled the greatness of Saint Joseph. All saints delight in him. To list all of the saints who loved and were devoted to him would be impossible, but there are a select few who really stand out. Saint Bernardine of Siena, Saint Lawrence of Brindisi, Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint Francis de Sales, the Venerable Mary of Agreda, Saint Alphonsus Liguori, Blessed William Joseph Chaminade, Blessed Maria Repetto, Saint Peter Julian Aimard, Blessed Jean Joseph Lataste, Saint Leonardo Marialdo, Saint Luigi Guanella, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, Saint Joseph Morello, Blessed Maria Teresa of Saint Joseph, Blessed Petra of Saint Joseph, St. Andre Bessette, Venerable Fulton J. Sheen, St. Jose Maria Escrivia, Blessed Gabriel Allegra. You might be familiar with some of the names on the list, but I bet there are some you have never heard of. Don't worry, you'll find out more about how many of them, about more of them. Wow. You will find out more about many of them in this book. They are the champions of Saint Joseph. Saints, blesseds, and mystics are not the only ones who have loved and delighted in Saint Joseph. Many popes have also praised the greatness of Saint Joseph. Blessed Pope Pius IX, Pope Leo XIII, Pope Benedict XV, the Venerable Pope Pius XII, Saint Pope John XXIII, and Saint John Paul II. The list of popes is considered shorter than the list of saints, isn't it? The reason is because papal promotion of Saint Joseph, while not entirely new, took centuries to develop. It took church leaders a very long time to fully recognize the greatness of Saint Joseph and proclaim that greatness in official documents. Nonetheless, once the papacy started to promote Saint Joseph, it really took off. After Blessed Pope Pius IX, there hasn't been a single pope who has not praised the greatness and unique holiness of Saint Joseph. See page 318 for commissioned art depicting the above mentioned 26 champions of Saint Joseph. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII taught that the dignity of Saint Joseph is so great that it can be considered higher than that of the angels, even the highest choirs of angels? He wrote, "The dignity of the Mother of God is so elevated that there can be no higher created one. But Saint Joseph was united to the Blessed Virgin by the conjugal bond. There is no doubt that he approached nearer than any other of the super eminent dignity of hers by which the Mother of God surpasses all created natures. Conjugal union is the greatest of all, but its very nature, it is accompanied by reciprocal communication of the goods of the spouses. If then God gave Saint Joseph to Mary to be her spouse, he certainly did not give him merely a companion in life, a witness of her virginity, a guardian of her honor, but he made him also participate by the conjugal bond in the eminent dignity which was hers." Whoa. Pope Leo XIII's theological statement is one of the most powerful ever made about Saint Joseph. Your spiritual father is higher than the angels. In Catholic theology, it has always been taught that the Virgin Mary's love of God, and therefore her dignity and closeness to God, surpasses those of all other created beings, including the angels. Her cooperation with God is unique because she collaborated materially, physically, in the incarnation of the second person of the Holy Trinity. For centuries, it was thought that after Mary's great dignity, the nine choirs of angels were nearer to God than all other creatures because of their role and mission as servants and ministers of God's holy will. However, as the theology of Saint Joseph has developed and become more prominent in the life of the church, it has become clear that there is another human person who is above all the choirs of angels, Saint Joseph. O God, the glory of Saint Joseph is known only by you and your angels. Men are not worthy to know it. This admirable saint is higher than the heavenly spirits. Blessed Bartolo Longo. The dignity of St. Joseph is so great that none can be greater. St. George Preka. St. Joseph has a dignity and closeness to God that surpasses that of all the holy angels. Angels are close to God because they are servants of his will. St. Joseph is close to God because he is the father of Jesus. St. Joseph's cooperative role in the redemption required greater graces than any angel has ever received. Though not the biological father of Jesus, and therefore not someone who cooperated in the same way as Mary did in the incarnation, St. Joseph nonetheless cooperated morally in the incarnation by raising the God-man with perfect paternal love. Mary was not an unwed mother when she conceived the Savior of the world in her womb. She was married to St. Joseph. The incarnation took place within the context of St. Joseph's marriage to Mary. St. Joseph's role was planned from all eternity, even before the creation of angels. Furthermore, Jesus never called any angel father. No angel, no matter how exalted, ever educated the God-man. God does not obey angels. St. Joseph, on the other hand, not only educated Jesus, but was privileged to command the God-man in his role as father of the Messiah. This fatherly love, dignity, and authority is reserved for St. Joseph. It is such a wondrous dignity that God made St. Joseph the spiritual father of all humanity, as well as the patron of the universal church. No angel, regardless of their ranking in the heavenly choirs, has such dignity. The surpassing dignity of the fatherhood of St. Joseph is the reason Pope Pius XI stated that the intercession of St. Joseph is all-powerful before God. He wrote, "The intercession of St. Joseph is that of the husband, the putative father, the head of the family of Nazareth, which was composed of himself, Mary, and Jesus. And as St. Joseph was truly the head of the master of that house, his intercession cannot be but all-powerful. For what could Jesus and Mary refuse to St. Joseph? He who was entirely consecrated to them all his life, and to whom they truly owed the means of their earthly existence." Pope Pius XI. St. Joseph is the delight of saints and popes. He should be your delight as well. All the saints in glory assuredly merit honor and particular respect, but it is evident that, next to the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph possesses a title to a more sweet, more intimate, and penetrating place in our hearts belonging to him alone. St. Pope John the 23rd. St. Joseph, after Mary, is the greatest saint and the most dear to Jesus. Blessed Bartolo Longo. The Litany of St. Joseph. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, hear us. Christ, graciously hear us. God the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Holy Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Noble offspring of David, pray for us. Light of patriarchs, pray for us. Spouse of the Mother of God, pray for us. Chaste guardian of the Virgin, pray for us. Foster father of the Son of God, pray for us. Zealous defender of Christ, pray for us. Head of the Holy Family, pray for us. Joseph, most just, pray for us. Joseph, most chaste, pray for us. Joseph, most prudent, pray for us. Joseph, most courageous, pray for us. Joseph, most obedient, pray for us. Joseph, most faithful, pray for us. Mayor of patience, pray for us. Lover of poverty, pray for us. Model of workmen, pray for us. Glory of domestic life, pray for us. Guardian of virgins, pray for us. Pillar of families, pray for us. Comfort of the afflicted, pray for us. Hope of the sick, pray for us. Patron of the dying, pray for us. Terror of demons, pray for us. Protector of the Holy Church, pray for us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. He has made him Lord of his household and Prince over all his possessions. Let us pray. O God, in your loving providence, chose blessed Joseph to be the spouse of your most holy mother. Grant us the favor of having him for our intercessor in heaven, whom on earth we venerate as our protector. You who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Well, to say day 8 was an action-packed, heavy content day might be an understatement, but if there was ever a day we were going to dedicate to reviewing St. Joseph, I'd say that was a pretty comprehensive one. Just a couple of the takeaway points. St. Joseph is the delight of saints. And after hearing the review of the delight of saints, that really brings things full circle, as the third seat to God the Father. And as our Blessed Mother is Queen of Heaven and Earth, Saint Joseph has the high seat there above all the other saints, and that is was very thoroughly explained, which I thought was also very valuable there too. So, and the other point that I wanted to highlight out is that Saint Joseph will help you get to the wedding feast of heaven, and this is something that he longs to do as our spiritual father here as well. And just as it's written in here, since we know that Saint Joseph loves us, and so we love and honor him in return, we can trust that he will help us get to heaven. And if I could give one pearl for the day, that would be it. The greatest thing any father can do for his children is help them get to heaven. And that is what Saint Joseph absolutely longs to do for me, for you, for all of us. So this is a great day. This is a great day, and I am really looking forward to day 9 with all of you tomorrow. Day 9 will be reviewing Noble Offspring of David. So thanks again for praying and listening along with me here, and looking forward to tomorrow. Have a great day.